Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I want to make one thing very clear here as we tip off the show here on Friday, January 25th. 7th, my goodness, 2017, my wife's birthday is tomorrow. Don't let me forget that. It's more than 60 million. It's more than 60 million. It's more than 60 million. I'm tired of that lie, too. Looking over here on my computer, it says 44 years and 60 million dead babies. Well, it's been 44 years, but it's more than 60 million. Those are the ones we can count. When you perform an abortion, when a woman kills her baby, it kills the lineage. Kills the lineage. All I got to do is look at my parents. I just look at my parents. If my father had been aborted, out of my dad and mother, out of my dad's loins today, I believe there are 38 of us, I think. So if dad had been aborted, 38 of us wouldn't be here. Wait a minute, it's probably even more than that. So when we're so stupid, we buy into the logic of the left again and say it's only 60 million, only 60 million dead. 60 million is a lot. It's an innumerable number. There's consequences to sin. I'm going to jump into some of this stuff. Today is the March for Life in Washington, D.C. Today, it's the day we go celebrate Roe versus Wade. Today's the day we go do that. And I spent many years, probably 10 years, going to the March for Life, and I'm not at the March for Life today. I'm not making fun of the March for Life. Thank God there's a March for Life. But we got to move beyond marching, don't we? Don't we have to move beyond marching? At some point, 44 years of marches, isn't it time something else? Don't we need to change tactics a little bit? There'll be 700,000 people probably there marching for life. You know, it might be bigger than that this year because there's a renewed push against abortion and a renewed one against abortion, and maybe more people will turn out. And we'll get mad. See, we'll get mad about, we didn't get any coverage. Nobody covered us. Who cares? The 750,000 people that go to Washington, D.C. today ought to be ashamed of themselves. We ought to all be ashamed of ourselves. We've allowed this go on for 44 years. And we're no better than the lesbian women. All we can do is march. Difference is we march peacefully, and they march with evil intent, but all we do is march. And Mike Pence is going to be at the March for Life today. First time this is pretty incredible. First time a representative from the executive branch has ever taken place in the March for Life.
You get mad about, we didn't get any.
Yeah, George W. Bush? George W. didn't march? No, George W. didn't do it. No, because they were staying in power. They're keeping Republicans in power on the bloody backs of little babies.
Hey, Coach, could you move your camera up a little bit?
Up? Which way, man?
So your head is lower. Yep.
There we go.
Yep, right there.
And so, I don't wake up today. I just got to tell you, I'm not excited. I'm not excited. I'm going to share some stuff with you today that you've never been aware of. It's called the doctrine of blood guiltiness. I hope to get to that. I'm here to tell you, my friends, America will never, ever, there is such a penalty hanging over America today. There's such a penalty. It's called blood guilt. You think about when Cain slew Abel. I always get those guys backwards. Cain slew Abel. The Bible says his blood cried out from the ground for vengeance. One dead guy. His blood had a voice. His blood called out for vengeance. And the scripture teaches us that for the shedding of innocent blood, there has to be a sacrifice to cover it. That's what the whole thing was about, bulls and goats. And that's what the whole thing was about. And this blood sacrifices in the Old Testament. That's what it was about. That whenever something died, there had to be a blood sacrifice for it. I'm going to show you that here in a minute. We've been doing this 44 years. 44th March for Life. Are you kidding me? You know why that is? Because we don't really believe it. I'm talking to all of us here. I'm talking to all of us. I wonder if old John Brockoff's listening out there. Sometimes my buddy John Brockoff's listening. You guys don't know John Brockoff. I've been ahead of myself. I'd have called him and had him in on the show. Hey, John, if you're listening today, call, because I want to put you on the air if I can, John, if you're listening. I don't know if you are. Here's the number, John. Get a pencil. I want you to call this number because I want to talk to you a little bit here on the air. 843-957-8180. Larry's going to pick that up, John, if you're listening. 843-957-8180. Larry will pick it up, and then he'll put you on the air. I don't know if you're listening live this morning or not. John Brockoff spent 7 years in prison back in the 80s, I think it was, for burning two abortion clinics in Cincinnati. 7 years in prison. Because John realized that was abortion. That was murder. Those were little babies. Those were little lives that were being destroyed. And John spent 7 years in jail for burning those things to the ground, or trying to burn them to the ground. He staked out his ground. He went back to the abortion clinic several times, and he mapped out exactly when the janitor was in there. He wanted to make sure that when he did it, that there was no one hurt. He had no intention to hurt anybody. And John burnt two abortion clinics to the ground in Cincinnati, Ohio. Spent 7 years in jail. He's out now. As far as I know, I call him Ted Kaczynski. As far as I know, he's not doing that anymore. But see, John Brockoff did that because he believed there was a little baby dying in there. I'm just going to pause right there a second. We don't believe it's little babies dying in there, see. I went to Worthington Kilbourn High School yesterday and spoke to 80 students. Their regard for life is dismal. It's sad. It's heart-wrenching. We're to the point today with the kids coming up, Rich. They don't even argue that it's murder anymore. They don't even argue. That's not even their argument anymore. Their argument is, I got a right to do it. It's my body and it's my choice. No matter how much evidence you give them, they don't waver from that. So people say, well, Coach, you can't legislate morality. Well, you're a damn fool. Because when we legalized abortion, we legalized immorality when we did that. So if you can legalize immorality, you can legalize morality. And it's my hope, my cry, my prayer today on the 44th anniversary of these babies being slaughtered, that the church rises up and convinces Donald J. Trump that enough is enough. We have got to stop killing babies. If we don't stop killing babies, the word of God tells us that we are without excuse. If we do, why do you think they killed the goats and the bulls? Because the blood had to be covered by some form of sacrifice. And Jesus Christ, when he came back as a sacrificial lamb. He came back and shed his blood once and for all sin. And he didn't do that, Paul said, that sin might abound so that grace can abound. God forbid, he said, once and for all, Jesus paid the price for sin. We have got to ask ourselves how long we're going to continue to permit this to go on. Because I'm telling you, the sword of Damocles, the wrath of God is hanging over this nation for our unwillingness, the church I'm talking about, for the unwillingness of the church to take responsibility for the slaughter of God's precious children. The unsaved, they don't get it. I get it. The church gets it. You get it, Roger. You get it, Rich. You get it, George. You guys get it. They're killing unborn babies, and we know it. And we go march. I'm in Jeremiah. Say, Coach, you sound pretty, well, I don't know what you sound today, Coach, pretty adamant. You sound like you're pretty radical. Well, do you believe it's a baby being murdered or not? Would you act the same way? What would go on in America today if they went into one high school and shot 20 kids dead? We've already seen that happen. The cry to end guns, we're going to stop killing babies. And they're doing it in abortion clinics with our tax dollars. We go march once a year. Chad's ticked. He wants to get in here. What's up, Chad? Chad, you're on the air. You're in the air.
Oh, okay. So I called the wrong one. That's all right. Hey, good morning, everybody. I just wanted to give a testimony that how wonderful it was to be able to go there to D.C. with this group of guys, and everybody held their own, you know. So I just appreciate it. It was great.
Chad, I'm barking this morning. I don't know if you're listening to us live or not. I'm barking this morning because we don't give a damn about abortion. We don't give a damn that they're slaughtering unborn babies. We're celebrating our hats, putting our hats and our coats on and our boots, and we're going to go to Washington, D.C., and we're going to march, and then we'll have a good march, and at the end of the march, say, hey, see you next year. See you next year. I'm ticked.
Marching's not enough, right?
Marching's not enough, brother. I'm ticked this morning, Chad. I'm ticked. We love you, man.
Sir, okay.
God bless. Bye-bye. I'm in Jeremiah. Remember this. God formed man out of dust of the earth, breathed in him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's in Genesis. But here's what we don't get. I'm in Jeremiah 1. Think about this. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anath in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign, came also in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, to the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Jude, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. This is a historical basing. If we go back and study the scriptures, this would make sense to us. Because we don't study the scriptures, we just think, well, I'm not even going to read that part. And then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. Isn't that something? When the Lord comes, it's come saying. Because why? The word of God's alive, vibrant, alive, living, breathing, sharper than any two-edged sword, the word of God is. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. It's a great principle there. We came from somewhere. We ended up in an earth suit. We came from somewhere. The Bible talks from everlasting to everlasting. Hey, boys, we came from somewhere. Because before he formed us, he knew us. Before he formed us. So we hear all the time people say, well, that's not alive. It's not living. It's not viable. That baby can't live. We know better. Hey, Rich, we know better than that, Sarge. No better than that. I'm in there yesterday with his 80. Hey, fascinating thing, JR. The boys were silent as church mice. And the young girls ran rampant over everything I said. Jezebel spirit alive and well in your public school. Boys sat there muzzled. They weren't allowed to talk about abortion because it was a woman's choice. And then afterwards, when I was done, the boys came up and quietly gave me a high five. It's pitiful! But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to... Man. For thou shalt go to all that I send you to, and whoever I command you to speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you. How about that? He ain't just with you. He's with you to deliver you, said the Lord. The Lord put his hand and touched my mouth. The Lord said unto me, behold, I've put my words in your mouth, Roger. See, I have set this day you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and to build and to plant. And moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he said, I see a rod of an almond tree. And then the Lord said unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time saying, what do you see? And he said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. And then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth unto all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one of his thrones at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, against all the walls there round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all of their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worship the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I have commanded you. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made this day a defensed city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. Because I'm with you to deliver you. Before he formed us in the womb. We're going to go down in history as the most cavalier, who gives a damn generation in the history of the world. We Christians.
Coach, I got to tell you something. I can't be silent.
Don't have to be. That's what I just read.
Hey, that Hebrew verse about shedding blood once and for all, people don't know it, but that's an occult verse to switch people who do sacrifices up in the high hills. And let me say this. The whole thing about the blood trail, all the way through Old Testament to New Testament, you may think I'm loony, but let me tell you something. I believe that abortion is killing some of the greatest preachers and some of the greatest men of God and women of God out there. Because Satan's goal from day one was to kill God's people. And I believe in my whole heart that he tried to kill Christ, kill all the young kids. That's Satan's MO, and we don't even understand that. Now, I'm going to say it, man. In the Four-Score Church where I came out of, there are so many wussies because it was founded by a woman, and McPherson. And people used to call her, we are the Church of McPherson. So all these pastors were brought up in McPherson. And that's it, man. Let me tell you something. And people don't preach it. They're afraid to preach it.
Yes, sir. So listen, Tim, let's go to Deuteronomy 21 real quick, Jared. Can we do that?
Hey, hold it. Before we go to Deuteronomy, let's just fast forward to chapter 2 of Jeremiah here for a second.
Okay.
What a revelation this morning. Verse 13 of chapter 2.
Let's stay there,
God is still talking to Jeremiah here. He says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water.
Oh, boy.
How many church today has forsaken the living water, the word of God, and they've replaced it with their version of the word of God that won't hold any water?
Amen.
The phony church is 180 degrees opposite what God intended it to be. It's only the true church, which has come out from among the phony church, that is accomplishing God's will on this earth today.
Amen, Larry. Chris Fletcher says over here on the side, saints, get your children who bear the image of God out of the state indoctrination camps called public schools. They don't need salt. They need fire and brimstone.
And get them out of the phony churches before they've become corrupted with a cistern that won't hold water.
And stop sending your kids to Sunday school. Have them sit beside you in church and teach them to behave. Sit beside mom and dad in church and teach them to behave. Don't send them off to Sunday school where they draw pictures of elephants. Okay, you ready? Innocent blood? Innocent blood? What happens if he found it? What happened if in Deuteronomy time, what happened if they found somebody dead out in the middle of the road? Out in the field, somebody's laying there dead. They don't know what happened to them. They just come across this dead body. Well, they knew it was serious. You find a dead body, shedding of innocent blood. They knew it was serious. They knew it was so serious that in the Old Testament, if you took a man's life, there was no ifs, ands, or buts. Your life was forfeited because it was life for a life, brother. Huh? It was bloodshed for bloodshed. It was sacrifice for sacrifice. All you need is love. Deuteronomy 21. Stay with me, Rich. If one be found slain in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee to possess it, lying in the field, and let be not known who hath slain him. They just find a body laying out there, somebody killed. Then the elders and your judges shall come forth, and they shall measure unto the cities which are round about him that is slain. And it shall be that the city which is closest to the slain man, even the elders of that city, shall take a heifer which hath not been wrought with and which hath not drawn in the yoke, a virgin heifer, and the elders of the city shall bring down the heifer unto a rough valley, which is neither eared nor sown, and shall strike off the heifer's neck there in the valley. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. For them the Lord thy God hath chosen to minister unto him and to bless in the name of the Lord. And by their word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. And all the elders of that city that are next unto that slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley. And they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O Lord, unto the people of Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not this innocent blood against us. They took it pretty serious, didn't they? They took the killing of one innocent, unknown person pretty damn seriously. They called all the leaders of the city. They called the priests. They called everybody out there. They killed that heifer and they washed her hands. Says, we didn't do it. Please forgive us. We didn't do it. And the blood strains down the streets. 60 million multiplied. And we march. Hey, guys. God can't make America great again. He can't. It would be violating his own laws, his own rules. He can't make America great again. America deserves judgment. 60 million innocent, unnamed little babies who were formed in before he formed them in the womb. He knew them, 60 million of them. And they're worried about one guy they find laying out on the street. They don't know what happened to him. They call a big solemn assembly and they sacrifice a heifer to cover that blood. We didn't do it. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, we deserve it, Lord Jesus. We deserve it. We deserve it.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah. Dave. Yes.
We all agree that the march is lacking. We see a Mark Harrington, what he is doing. What would it look like if we did more than march? And one thing I've often thought, you know, what if church started having church outside those clinics? Or what would look like if church outside the abortionist's house? So simple things, so easy things. Marching.
We can't even get them to go to the daggone Planned Parenthood in their neighborhood. Okay, here you go, Jared. Play that video. Play that video, Jared.
Hey, Roger.
What has your pastor done? Go ahead and play that, Jared. Hey, go ahead. Hang on, Jared. Go ahead, Larry.
Roger, not a bad train of thought you have there, but if it's the phony church having a phony church service in front of an abortion clinic, it's going to do more harm than good, because that phony church is 100% totally useless.
They're useless, Larry, in the spirit realm, but they're not useless in the natural realm. In that, look at what the march on those ladies in Washington, the impact it had socially, not heavenly, in the natural realm, bodies matter. In the spiritual realm, they don't, but in the natural.
But we're not fighting a spiritual fight, a physical fight. We're fighting a spiritual fight. So the phony church being useful in the physical is a phony result.
Yeah, but you're forgetting that the word church, ecclesia, means called out ones. Called out ones. Yeah. So, and if the Bible says, blow the trumpet.
Yeah, that's why I use the word phony. No, that's why I use the word phony. There's the church, and then there's the phony church.
The phony church is
useless.
Play it, Jared. This is five, 4 years ago. 4 years ago.
Hi, friends. This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at NewsWithFuse.tv at NewsWithFuse.com. And, you know, I really hate to even bring this topic up because there's really nothing that gets me any more trouble than this one. But I just got to ask you this question. What has your pastor done? What has your pastor done? So what are you talking about, Coach? We love our pastor. And I'm not here to criticize your pastor. I don't know your pastor. But I am smart enough to look outside of my window and understand that this world is upside down. This world is a mess. And this world is a mess because everything that you see going on is going on with the approval of the church. What has your pastor done? I was watching the news the other night and saw some of the things that are going on in America. This whole thing that happened with Kermit Gosnell and the killing of babies, and now the same thing's going on down in the Texas area, Planned Parenthood in every city killing babies. And I hear a lot of pastors say that, well, they're pro-life and they preach pro-life sermons, but I'm going to ask you something. What has your pastor done? But where I come from, they had an old saying. It said, talk's cheap. Hey, brother, if you're going to talk it, you got to walk it. Let me ask you again, what has your pastor done? Here's one that'll really get you going. Our schools are a mess. Not only they're a mess academically, but they have become a cesspool of information to our children, teaching to our children that public schools have no business teaching sex education and tolerance and homosexuality and gay marriage. And they are teaching that to Christian children with Christian parents' tax dollars, all of it violating the scriptures and what God would want for young children. In fact, God said this, it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck, throw you into the deepest part of the ocean, than to mislead even one of these little ones that believe in me. And every day in America's public schools, little ones are being misled. And I gotta ask you a question again. What has your pastor done? He said, oh, well, he preaches pro-life messages. And why we have a great youth group. Really, what has your pastor done to the evil that's running loose in your town? This weekend, we're getting ready to go to, they have a big what do they call it? Gay marriage parade here in Columbus, Ohio. One of the largest gay parades in all of America. We go there every year and we try to lift up the truth. Try to bring hope to clearly lost people. And I often hear them ridicule me and say, well, you got no business being down there. You shouldn't go down there. I said, let me tell you something. You want to find some people that need saved? You really want to do something for the Lord? I got to tell you something. There'll be 50,000 profoundly lost people at Broad and High Street. Don't get in your pulpit and preach against it. Paul said, show me your faith. What has your pastor done? What has your pastor done? Folks, we are in a world of hurt in America. Right has become wrong. Good has become evil. Evil's become good. Left has become right. Everything seems to be out of control. And it's out of control because there is no pushback from the church. A lot of it happens to be theological, and I'm not going to get into a theological debate because I'm not a theologian. But I have to ask this question to you. They say, Coach, it's just what the Bible says, that the last days, you know, it's just going to get worse, and then we're going to get out of here. So really? If you really believe that, if somebody called you and told you that they just let off the nuclear bomb 30 miles from your house, and you got that phone call, and you're talking on the phone, would you just sit there? Would you get up and call everybody you know and warn them of the impending doom, the fallout that was going to blow over them? Or would you just sit there and say, well, things are just going to get worse. It's what the Bible predicted. See, a lot of times our walk doesn't match our talk. If you really believed that the end of days was near, you'd quit storing up that big bank account you had. You'd quit worrying about your 401k. You'd quit worrying about that and your retirement. Quit talking to Dave Ramsey about retirement income, being able to live on your retirement income. If you really thought the end of days was near, you'd be about your father's business trying to rescue those who are facing impending doom. Oh, it's coming as sure as I'm sitting here. I'm going to ask you again, what has your pastor done? When's the last time he led the congregation out to face the forces of evil? When's the last time he took the congregation to the school board and asked questions about what was being taught in their schools? When's the last time the pastor took the congregation outside an abortion clinic and sang hymns and prayed? What has your pastor done? Talk is cheap. Faith without works is dead. Paul said, show me your faith. I'm watching, Pastor. I'm watching. What have you done? It's Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, newswithuse.tv.
That's hitting them between the eyes, isn't it, boys? Huh? I'm in James chapter 2. Hey, Roger, what's your pastor done? What's he done about abortion? What's he done about the shedding of innocent blood? What's your pastor done?
I love what you said about.
What's anybody's pastor done? You're breaking up a little bit, Roger. I don't know what it is. Breaking up. I'm looking for something here. Looking for something.
I love what you said about leading the congregation against evil.
Yeah, what if your pastor at that big church that you go to, I'm not making fun of you. What if he said, no church this Sunday, we're going to go out and we're going to pray at the abortion clinic. We're going to surround the abortion clinic. And not only that, what if he got on the phone and got a hold of some of his Baptist buddies and had them do the exact same thing? Well, he can't do that. You know why, Raj? They're marching in Washington today. They're marching. Their legs will be tired. They'll be marching a couple miles there, be tired. They'll take a whole year and they'll go do it again. They'll get in shape and go do it again. Are you Matthew in James chapter 2, verse 13? It's a familiar verse to you. Verse 13, for he shall have judgment without mercy. Hey, Rich, do you see that? For he shall have judgment without mercy. that hath shown no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Mercy rejoices against judgment. Mercy loves it when judgment comes. Because when judgment comes, mercy can follow. What is a prophet, my brothers, though a man says he have faith, but he doesn't have any works? Can his faith save him? So if a brother or sister say that they're pro-life and they march in the pro-life parade and they put pro-life bumper stickers on their card, what good does that do? If one of you say to them, depart in peace, but you got a chance to rescue those babies and you decide you're not going to, so you say, well, the Lord will take care of them, notwithstanding you don't do a daggone thing to prevent it, what good's that? Verse 17, even so, if it doesn't have works, you ain't got no faith. You see this? Do you see this? Even so, faith without works is dead. Verse 19, thou believest that there's one God? Well, you do good, because the devils believe that, and they crap their pants. They tremble, because the devils, they believe in God. But you, oh man, O vain man, I'm sorry, but will you know, O vain man, that your faith, if it ain't got any works, it's deader than a doornail. No wonder abortion is thriving in America today as we do our march for life. Hang on here. I'm going to try to get a surprise for you here. Somebody jump in here. It's good stuff, isn't it? It's good stuff. It's good stuff. You can't stand in the daggone pulpit. That's faith without works. It's faith without works. It's dead. Just marching in D.C. It's dead. Dead.
Yeah, there's dead faith and there's living faith. Living faith requires action. Requires action.
It requires action. It requires action, and prayer propels. Prayer is the jet fuel behind action. That's a good picture, isn't it? Prayer is the jet fuel. Prayer is the propellant that sends. Prayer without works is dead. Okay, I want to show you something here. I don't know if you've picked up on this. I'm kind of dedicating this show to those little babies. And shame on us. Hey, guys, God cannot bless America. He can't. He can't bless America. Well, can somebody explain to me why we just want to defund Planned Parenthood? Why aren't we criminalizing an abortion and closing those places down? What is wrong with us? Why are we marching now in Washington, D.C. and saying we're going to camp out here, Trump, till you criminalize abortion? Hey, Donald Trump, how about you get an executive order that says there is a moratorium on abortions until we figure out whether or not that little thing inside the mother is alive? And we will let medical science determine that. But the science that we had back in 1973 that legalized this horrific process, who told us it was just a blob of tissue and a blob of cells, that 1973 science somehow doesn't hold up to 2017 science. And because of that, we are going to protect the innocent amongst us. No more abortions in America until we figure out whether that baby is alive or not. And we are going to side on the side of life. We are going to protect that innocent life until we know otherwise. Somebody tell me why the church isn't demanding that. How hard would that be? How hard would that be? I was in there with those Jezebel girls yesterday. It's my body. And Roger, no matter how much I told them and convinced them it wasn't their body, they didn't care. You know why? Because they are doing what Kelly Conway called alternative facts. See, what does that mean, Coach? It means this. You get a position. I'm pro-abortion. A woman has a right to an abortion. I hold that position, and then I go find the facts to support it. Those are alternative facts. When the fact is the main question in all of abortion is what? Two questions. Is that baby alive? And if that baby is alive, is it legal to kill it? Those are the only two questions you have to ask. Not whether a woman has a choice, not whether it's viable, not whether it's plain, not whether it's pain capable, not whether there's a 3-day waiting period, none of that stuff. Two questions. Is it alive? And if it is, can I kill it? It would end the debate. So what do we have to do? We got to stop this foolishness, this stupid marching, this stupid stuff we're doing, marching for no reason, and let medical science show us, is it a baby, a live baby, or is it not? We know what the Bible tells us. We know it has a heartbeat at 5 weeks. We know that. And we know that if somebody drops over in front of you on the sidewalk, you run up to them, and the first thing you do is check their pulse, because if their heart is not beating, they're not alive. And if their heart is beating, they are alive. So a paramedic runs up there, and they check it. Hey, I found a pulse. He's alive. I found a pulse. But we find a baby has a pulse, and we say, that's not alive. That's not alive.
We do know it has a brand new DNA from conception. Courts everywhere accept the collection of DNA as proof that a person was wherever that DNA was collected at.
Well, Larry, there you go with those alternative facts. See, you just want the facts that you just want the facts that support your position. That's all you're after. So let's stop doing that then. Let's just get the facts. Is this baby living? If it is, do we have a right to kill it? Yeah.
I don't know about your state, but in my state, if a pregnant woman is murdered, you are, if they find the murderer, he is arrested for double homicide, period, no matter what week the lady is in pregnancy.
So, really, abortion is the ability, the right to kill unwanted babies. And you guys, some people laughed at me when I said when we were at that lesbian march, here's the problem. They just want to have sex without any consequences. That's all. They want abortion because they want to be like men. They want to go around, screw like little rabbits, and have no consequences to it. That's what abortion's about. This is not hard. It's not hard for the church. Okay, I'm going to show you my softer side here. Here's the softer side. Jared, play that pink one. This one's about 3 minutes, I think. And it's entitled, Tears of Abortion. Might want to turn your camera off. You might get a tear in your eye. Go ahead, Jared.
Hi, Mommy. Let me introduce myself. I'm 3, 4, 7 inches long. I have all of my organs, and my heart started beating today. I am alive. I love the feeling of your heartbeat. Every beat wants to make me dance and lift my arms and legs. I like it here inside you.
Month 2.
Mommy, today I learned to suck my thumb. If you can see me, you can definitely tell that I was a baby. I'm very cute. I'm not big enough to survive outside my home. That's okay. I feel safe in here. It's so nice and warm. I may decide never to leave. I look forward to our first hug.
Month 3.
You know what, Mommy? I'm a girl. I hope that makes you happy. I always want to make you happy. I started hearing today. You sound so sad. I don't like it when you're sad. It makes me sad too. I cry with you even though you can't hear me. To cheer you up today, I have to share a secret with you. My favorite lullaby is with the sound of your heartbeat. I know it's mushy, but I look for the holding your hand. I love you.
Month 4.
Mommy?
20 weeks.
My hair is starting to grow. It's very short and fine. I'll have a lot of it. I spend a lot of time exercising. I can move my head and wiggle my fingers and wiggle my toes. I stretch my arms and legs. My favorite is the kick, then slide back to the bottom. I'll really enjoy kissing your cheek right now.
Month 5, 20 weeks.
I went to the doctor today. He lied to you. He called me a blob of cells and said I was not a baby. I am alive. I am a baby. Mommy, you're a baby. I think and feel. Mommy, what is an abortion? Aw, it doesn't matter. We're having too much fun. This journey will never end. I am the pee of your pod. I'll imagine seeing your face in my dreams tonight. Sleep tight.
Month 6.
I can hear the doctor again. I don't like him. He seems cold and heartless. He definitely doesn't have your sense of humor. That's new. What is that? Something is poking into my home. The doctor calls it a needle. Mommy, what is that? It burns. Please make him stop. I can't get away from it. It hurts. Mommy, don't you want me? Please help me. The man in the bright clothes told me about abortion. Why didn't you want me, Mommy? The nice man picked me up, and he told me all day today. It's as if he created me. He is very warm and cozy. He said to tell you he loves you and hopes you ask him for forgiveness. I think you two will be great friends. I miss you, Mommy. Because of abortion, my eyes will never see your face. My arms will never give you a hug. My legs will never dance to a tune that you're playing. My lips will never kiss you on a cheek. My mouth will never whisper, I love you. My fingers will never be wrapped in your hand. My nose will never snort at your funny jokes. My little heart will never feel your smile of approval. Because of abortion, we missed each other.
See, I think that's a powerful film, except for the, you know, they got to throw that love, love, love in there that Jesus loves everybody in the midst of it. When in fact, you looking at me? Her mother's a murderer. Her mother's a murderer. And we have all this sympathy for these post-abortive women who are murderers. Now, thank God for Jesus and the gift of salvation. But we shouldn't be coddling these people who killed their babies. We have to call it for what it is. We have to make abortion not illegal. We have to make abortion unthinkable. That's what the church is supposed to do. Not march with 700, not get on a bus and have a bus ride with 50 of our friends and sing Christmas songs and Christmas Christian carols all the way out there and get to know people and stop and get something to eat, have a wonderful trip, and then go march for 4 hours and get back in the bus, drive back home. That's it? That's it? That's what we're supposed to do when they're slaughtering people? Little human beings created in the image of God? Little human beings that he knew before he even put them in the womb? Little human beings? And then, God bless America, we'll go back home.
You know, if Jesus died on the cross and those who repent of their sins can receive the payment he paid for that sin, if we teach and treat the women like that was not a sin, they'll never ask to repent of it. They'll never be saved.
Our friend Jim Kraft just emailed me this, texted me this. Coach, having taught this and preached this inside and outside the church for the past 5 years, the United States of America is being judged by God, and destruction always comes with God's judgment of a nation that refuses to repent. The murder of the unborn, the perversion of open homosexuality, the insanity of same-sex marriage, the rampant pedophilia and blood sacrifice of children, but most of all, the silence in the pulpit from the hireling shepherds and false prophets and the backslidden carnal Christians sitting in the pews have brought God's judgment upon America. Without a national repentance in the church and on the street, America is finished. Trump or no Trump, this nation is headed for destruction and captivity. Catch your breath, get your house in order, repent, and pray for the lost. God will not be mocked. Hey, boys, in Old Testament times, all the city officials would be at the abortion clinic, all the pastors. They'd be holding a church service for even one of those little babies that was killed that they didn't know who did it.
No, Coach, they wouldn't. They'd be at that abortion clinic arresting and then administering justice to those who did it.
So, JR, what's up, man? You're dealing a lot with the pastors. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Hey, JR, H-E double hockey sticks. It's going on. What's going on with them?
Well, first of all, it's always nice to start the morning off with a good cry. Well, thank you for your presentation. Two things that seem to be happening. Number one, the pastors have taken a leadership role in the families, and they shouldn't. That's not their job. It's Jesus, the Father, the Mother, the children, in that order. The pastor or the Pope is not in the middle of that. And secondly, the state has taken over the job of the father in a lot of cases, too many cases. We have to reclaim the family. We have to take the family back. I don't know whether we can get the job done without it. We're gonna have to do this without the pastors. It's just, well, they're not gonna come along.
You know, we're called in the scriptures to rescue the widows and the orphans. You know that?
Yeah.
We're specifically called to do that. Do you have any idea that how many of these women are in fact going on to these abortion clinics? They're widows. See, they were married in the sense that the two became one, and the husband died to that relationship. They're widows, and those babies are orphans. They're fatherless, and we're supposed to reach out to the women and the orphans in their time of need. That's true and undefiled religion. Isn't that where it is? Hey, Jared, Google that. See if you can find that. True and undefiled religion. I'm not exactly sure. I think I know where it is, but I'm not exactly sure. Where is it in here? James 1:27. Wouldn't that be something? We're in James. Let's go to James again, Jared. True and undefiled religion. Let's start right there, Jared. 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, because you're deceiving yourself. If you're just sitting in church and you think you're being Christian, you're just deceiving yourself. You ain't doing nothing. I'm just paraphrasing the Bible here. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man looking in a mirror at his face. And he sees himself. And then he goes his way, and he soon forgets what he looked like. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and stays there, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his work. And if any man among you seems to be religious, and he can't control his tongue, but deceives his own heart, that man's got himself some phony religion. for pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit those women in their affliction at the abortion clinic and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's pure religion. We ain't doing that much, are we, boys? We ain't doing much of that. Yeah, I run into people. Careful how I say this. I often get, as you do, I'm sure, I get appeals for people who want to go on foreign missions. And God bless their hearts. God bless their hearts that they want to go serve. Why won't they serve here? Why does someone want to go to the deepest parts of Africa and hold little orphans and they don't do it here? Jesus said, go first to Jerusalem, where you live, to Judea, next door, to Samaria, the town next to that, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. But guys, girls, we ain't got no business going to the uttermost parts of the world if we ain't doing it in Jerusalem. And you know why we won't do it in Jerusalem? Because people know us here. There's accountability here. I can't tell you the number of times I cringe when this thing right here rings. Because it's somebody appealing for help. Now, wait. I'm happy to help. But sometimes it reaches a point where it didn't help anymore. It's enabling. And the phone rings and it's, oh my goodness, it's that guy again. Enabling. And so it's easier for me, Roger, to go to Louisiana and help because they don't bug me when I go home. That makes sense, fellas? See, we're supposed to bloom where we're planted. We're supposed to make a difference right where we are. And I got no business going to Washington, D.C. to try to end abortion if I won't end it in Columbus, Ohio. I got no business going there. At least that's my take. Couple minutes. Jump in here before we're done. Somebody.
Want to remind everybody about Last Call tomorrow. We're going to have the activist mommy on. Liz Johnson.
Why is she the activist mommy?
Because she does something, and she does something right.
What's wrong with her?
I'm going to ask that question tomorrow.
Is there a pacifist mommy?
Yeah, that's everyone else.
I'm sorry, JR. I'm sorry, JR.
That's okay. That's okay. I mean,
10 o'clock tomorrow. 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, same number you reach this show on, or go to Minutemen website. We're also going to have a ex-Olympic boxer from Nicaragua who came to America. He's a doctor and had his children taken away from him because his praying threatened them.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So listen. I'm sick and tired being criticized by people who don't do anything. Sick and tired of it. I get the emails. I hear from men. Listen to me. I hear from men who wanted to go to Washington, D.C., but then they spoke to their pastor. And the pastor said, oh, they probably shouldn't go. Number one, I'm a loose cannon. And number two, you ready, Rich? They might get hurt. Hey, guys, that's what we're dealing with. That's what we're dealing with. They'll pack the church for their Christmas cantata. And they'll raise thousands of dollars to send people to Guatemala. But they won't get in their car and drive 2 miles to their local abortion clinic. It's despicable. God's not pleased, man. God is not pleased. Rich, I cannot give us the urgency. Let me leave you with this thought. In Deuteronomy 21, the death of one person murdered was of such concern to the community that all the dignitaries and all the religious folks showed up. It was a big deal. And in 2017, all the religious people and the dignitaries ignore it. Ignore it. Say, oh, not too bad. Wow, that's awful, man. Isn't that awful? They're killing those babies. Somebody will do something about that. I think I'll call Pat Tiber. I'll call my congressman. Somebody will do something about that. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build me a church. And the gates of hell don't have a chance against my church. They don't have a chance. I weep today for all those babies. And I apologize to my Lord that I haven't done more. I know it matters to him. We can all agree to this one thing. God hates the killing of his innocent children. God hates it. And if we love the Lord, we'll love what he loves and hate what he hates. God bless you. We'll see you all on Monday.